I realize this is not part of the intimate show, this talk.
Hi. This is a new one for me. Spontaneous conversation that I'm publishing. I mean, I have plenty of spontaneous conversations with people and contemplations as well. I was not sure about which name to choose. But today I was scheduled to record conversation with Ann Tucker on the subject of the male and the female energy within us when conducting business, being part of the intimate show. Yeah, well, things went slightly differently. We hadn't talked before yet, so it was our first conversation face to face. We just had a very short chat and clearly it was intuitive that I felt like, okay, I need to invite her, and that she felt to say yes. And so we ended up having a talk today of about an hour and a half, I don't know exactly. And I still need to edit. And I'm recording this part of the video because I just started recording somewhere and there's no introduction, there's no nothing. It's just like, we're in. And I was like, oh shit, I should have started recording earlier because there were already beautiful things coming up. And when I decided to end the video, the conversation actually continued after I stopped recording, and I was like, ah. So we already decided we will have another call in a week or two, which will be for the intimate show, but I can also feel that we will maybe have another talk just like this one, because we both have a lot of insights of things coming up. We have an open crown chakra, an open third eye, and combining what we see, what we feel, and what we recognize with our different perspectives can be very valuable to you. So today you're going to get a taste from the first of my spontaneous conversations that I recorded. And I know more will come. More will follow, for sure. So tighten up your seatbelts. This is going to be a ride that you won't forget. That I can guarantee you. Like, subscribe, and share.
Yeah. I also pressed the record button because I was already regretting that I didn't start recording earlier, because you started sharing things. I was like, these are beautiful things. But okay, well, I mean, we'll set a moment where we really start the conversation. But if there are crucial things before, I will just stuff them in somewhere.
Like, sounds good.
So you were sharing about how you get the transmissions, and then how you see like a river flowing by.
Yeah. They come by in packets, and it'll be like a packet of words. But what's interesting is sometimes they'll send the same thought three different ways. Mm-hmm. It's like as it's coming by me, I kind of have to grab the thought, and if I don't grab it, it flows by. So then I can't remember. And sometimes I'll grab all three. So you'll hear me in a channeling. I'll say the same concept. You have three words for the same concept. So I'll just be like, you know, I don't know, think of like a tree, shrubs, bushes, or something. You know what I mean? It'll be like three words, but it's the same thing. It's because they expressed it three ways, knowing I would grab one of the packets. You know what I mean? But you see what I'm saying? So they're sending it to me in, like little groups.
Yeah, because they're sending to you they're sending to multiple people at the same time, and everyone gets recognizes in his own language, from his own perspective, things, and he can grab it. So the river is flowing by you, but also by multiple people, and everyone is grabbing his pieces, and that makes his channeling. And so the different people will meet you or somebody else with whom they resonate to get the message in a way they understand. Because not everyone will be resonating with you or understanding even when you're talking. Well, when somebody else tells the same story, but in his own words, they're like, oh yeah, that makes total sense.
So. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's pretty interesting stuff. And I find when I get to the end, sometimes I'll be channeling and I write everything down as I'm going. And I'll be doing that and I'll get to a place where I'm thinking, this makes no sense. And I'll just keep writing. But in my logical mind, it's like, this is just gobbledygook. This is making no sense at all. And that happens almost all the time. And I keep thinking, I should just stop. Yeah, I should stop and start over because this is not making sense. And I get to the end, I finally stop and I read it and it makes perfect sense, you know? But my logical brain isn't keeping up.
Yeah, that logical brain, it's brilliant. And I say it often to people, your smartness is your biggest obstacle.
That's so true. It's so true. Advanced,
it's like, but I can't understand everything. No, you can't. Yeah, but I'm so much smarter than others, so I must be able to. No, shut up. Go back to sleep.
It's so true. So true.
I usually have my best sessions with people when I'm very tired. Because
that's interesting.
And then stuff just comes out and someone's like, what did I just say? And people are like, you're so right. Thank you. I'm like, okay. So I trust now whatever comes out, no matter how hard it is, how direct sometimes, or like with zero politeness.
Yes. Yeah.
People just, because it's coming from the pure part. So it doesn't enter here for them as well. It just goes like boom, and like, oh yeah. And their mind is like, what did he just say? And then this is true. This could be living a lie or things like that. So that's why I always try to get people out of the mind by meditation or something like that. Just to,
I think that's super smart. Yeah. To let go of the need to control it. Yeah.
You have a background that was all about control. I mean, the corporate world is like, be careful what you say and how and...
It's really true. It's really true. And I had to, too, because here as I was in the corporate world when my awakening was happening. So it's like, how do I deal with that? My awakening or being in the corporate world?
No, the awakening. Oh, the corporate world. I know how the corporate world is. Been there.
Done with
it.
Done with that.
But how was the awakening? How did that happen, and how did you experience that being in those two worlds?
Is this part of the? Are you recording, or do you want to start the recording? We can include it.
I'm already recording, so I will.
Oh, perfect! You have everything. Okay, good.
Introduce yourself a little bit later.
Okay, sounds great.
A piece at the end where you're just like, "Oh yeah, I'm Antakara and blah blah blah."
And by the way, okay, sounds great. So it's funny, like I was always interested in spirituality and that kind of stuff. And my dad originally introduced me to astrology, and I read a book when I was a kid by Roald Dahl, the guy who wrote James and the Giant Peach, and also Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. He wrote a book called The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. And in that story, it's about a guy who goes and studies with yogis and trains himself to see with his eyes closed. And I was so fascinated by this, I would like light a candle and sit in the bathroom and like stare at the flame and see if I could like train my brain to see without my eyes. And it never worked because I'd be able to sit still for like a minute. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't going to happen. But but so I was always interested, and I always felt like I had this extra awareness. Like sometimes, I'd be opening the door and I would be like, I'm going to drop my keys. And then I would drop my keys. I had this awareness, but I had no control over it. And it wasn't very deep. And I was closing my third eye because there was a lot of stuff I didn't want to see. So I was deliberately shutting my third eye for a long time. And I was in a very unsuccessful marriage. And that was a lot of what I was trying not to see. And when that broke apart, that was when my intuition just exploded. And I started having it. And it actually, interestingly, like several years before that, I had a dream where I was at a park I'd never been to. And I was walking up a hill. And on my left was a man that I was with who was not my partner. But I knew in the dream that he was my partner. And then there was my two kids running up the hill. But it was not my two kids, right? There was two other kids running up towards this playground. And then there was a woman off to the side who was eating a sandwich. She had curly dark hair, eating a sandwich, sitting at a park bench with a bike leaned across a bench against the thing. And this was at the time when I thought I was married forever. Like it was, you know what I mean? I woke up thinking it was such a weird dream. There's something about it. I told like five people about this dream. And then 5 years later, I'm very surprised to me, divorced, right? And I'm dating this new guy, and we're at this park, and his sons were with us, and we're going up the hill, and his sons start running to the playground. I'm like, oh, I gotta go after to make sure they're okay. And there's the woman with the dark hair, and this, I mean, exactly like a photograph of what I had seen. So I was like, okay, you know, mind blown. And then, but then more and more stuff like this, the first stuff that would happen that where I just couldn't deny it was when I started popping into other people's bodies accidentally. And that you do that a couple times and you're like, okay, what's going on?
Like in the movie Being John Malkovich?
Like where I would, the first time it happened, I was coming back. I'd been at this festival called A-Fest down in Costa Rica. And I was coming back and I was thinking about a friend I'd met there. And then all of a sudden I was seeing through her eyes. And I saw her, she was on an airplane, and I could see the movie she was watching, and I could see the actor in the movie, and then I saw her look over here, and I saw her look at some shoes. So I immediately texted her, and I'm like, where are you? And she, 2 hours later, you know, after she gets off the flight, she texts me, and she's like, oh, I was on a flight. I was like, wait, were you watching this movie? And everything I'd seen was accurate. So then I started making appointments with people, because it's kind of, that's like invasive, right? Like you don't want people to just be popping in and looking at like, this is not good. Like, how do I control
it? I'm
in the restroom. I'm having a private moment, right? Not good. But I made dates with friends. I'd be like, okay, tomorrow at 11, I'm going to come and see what you're seeing. And the second time I did it, my friend, I thought it wasn't working because I went to go look and I couldn't see anything out of her eyes, but I could feel on her lap, it felt like she was sitting underneath a tablecloth, like there was extra fabric on her legs. And I didn't know what was going on. I was like, oh, and I was like, I don't think it's working. So then I text her and a couple hours later, she gets back to me and she says, yeah, she was in a meditation seminar and they had blindfolds on. So she couldn't see anything, but she was cold and she had her scarf on her lap. So it was, I mean, it turned out that was a part of when I was starting my healing practice, that was a part of my healing modality, was I would move into people's bodies and then the angels would move in through me. So I was the bridge. And so I didn't know that, but it was like that had to come in first so that I could start practicing my healing.
And it would help you to understand what their problem was, because sometimes people don't know how to explain what the problem is. So you could go into
Okay. Exactly.
Get to work.
That's exactly. And I could also feel, because you know I'm a person who likes confirmation. I always like to make sure so I can feel when the energy leaves, right? Like I can be in there and I feel physically when the energy leaves their body and I can say, okay, I know it's clear.
And then you can close the session. Mm-hmm. So,
important. And I don't I don't do that healing modality anymore because my gifts have changed and evolved, but that was how I started. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, was it you who recorded about, or was somebody else about, it was you in your channeling about the healing, that it will be more structured and formalized and integrated in medicine. That was you, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was listening to that. I was like, okay, this is definitely not for me because I moved away from the healing part. As being the healer, okay, there are exceptions. Yeah. If my best friend calls me and she has this thing, like, okay, I'll come to you energetically and I'll help you. But generally, I'm like, no, I'm going to teach you how you can fix your own stuff by going to the root source and start resolving it there. Because otherwise, it's like, have a headache. Here's a paracetamol. And then a few hours later, oh, headache again. Yeah, we didn't solve the problem. We just dealt with the symptoms. Or, I fixed you, but the root source is still there, so the infection is coming back or whatever it is. And, it's useless. Yeah, I'm making money, but I don't feel good about that.
Yeah, right. And you want to empower people to heal. Yeah, truly heal. Yeah.
And I'm meeting more and more healers who are saying exactly the same. Like, no, I'm not healing anymore. No, I teach people. How do you fix yourself? And it's not that you cannot go to somebody for help, but it's more efficient if you learn to be independent.
Yeah.
Where you can be and then get help when it's really needed, but a different kind of help. It's like this Chinese example where they say the beggar the poor guy goes to the fisherman and he says, can you give me fish? And the fisherman says, I will not give you fish, but I will teach you how to fish.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I add on that, like, I will help you fish so much that you also can both eat and start to bargain with others. to give you a pitch and get bread in return.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's
how
you grow. And I see Richard Branson doing the same in South Africa with his one of his NGOs. They help the people to become self-sufficient.
Yeah.
Not just donating money, because, you can keep donating money. You're not helping them. Yeah, okay, maybe at the start, but at a certain moment they need to become independent and they will also feel better. So they will get healthier and then they become more productive. They will inspire others. So you have this chain reaction.
Yeah.
And it will start to spread. The wealth starts to spread by people going into their strength and into their power.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Investing in people, not just meeting their immediate needs, but truly investing in them and their gifts and their ability to do it themselves. Yeah. Which is super. Yeah.
So could you, just for the viewers, introduce yourself? Yeah, whichever side, because I see you have different sides. I see your LinkedIn profile is very different from all the rest that I'm seeing. Like, yeah, interesting. Two different worlds.
You know what's interesting is it is and it isn't. Like, to me, I feel like it's all, at this point, I feel like I'm, there was a time when I kept it very separate. And now I feel like, you know what? Nope, I'm out there. Like, I'm out of the closet fully and it's all together. So I am all those things, right? I am a business coach. So I'm the creator of Business Energetics and the Authentic Expression Test, which is what tells you your soul type. And that's super applicable to the business world, to whatever it is that you're trying to create in the world. And then I'm also an angelic channel and I'm channeling the 9 angelic frequency series right now. So I am, and those things to me, they make perfect sense, you know, but of course they're compatible, but.
Who was it who said that about something spiritual, like, yeah, and I was like, no, it's science, just we don't understand it yet.
Right. Yes, exactly. That's exactly and the thing is that science and spirituality are so close to each other right now. They're so, like, it's just like this far apart. And I really feel like at some point, and that's what actually the angel said in that last channeling I did about healers is, and that was one of my favorite parts of that session, was they said that people are going to, because we are raising our vibration, the planet is raising this vibration, people are going to start having experiences of angels. And I've been thinking about what is that going to be like when it's like everybody starts having their own independent experience, when they start like, oh my gosh, what is that sitting next to me, right? What is that I'm feeling right now or hearing right now? And you can't deny it at that point. And so what does that create for someone when, you know, maybe their whole life they've been going under this idea that things are a certain way, and then boom, there's an angel in their living room, you know, and that it's not just happening to them, when it's happening to like everybody. And what will that do? You know, what will that do? And that's part of what I want to talk about in our challenge. It's coming up, you know what I mean? On Monday, like I want to say and have everybody think about that. Like, what's going to happen to the world if that really comes to pass, if everybody starts having this awareness, and even if it's like, it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody has to be fully stepped into their gifts for that to occur, right? It just means
that everyone will experience in way, because some people, they see things. I never see anything.
Yeah.
I once or twice heard a voice, but generally it's just the knowing. But then other people, they see angels, they see stuff. And I used to be frustrated about that. I remember we did a session in the sea in the Caribbean on a friend of mine. And then an hour later, a friend of us who was still on the beach, she was like, oh, I saw all those angels coming out of the sea. And I was like, I was in the salty water. It was great, but I didn't see anything. Why can I not see anything? It's so boring. It's not fair. But now I'm like, that's it.
Right.
I just need to know what to do. Maybe that's because I'm a man. So I'm like, okay, things are like that. So we're going that way or we're going that way.
Right.
It's fine.
Right.
So I just wanted to add this because some people will be like, but I still don't see angels. And my neighbor sees, but maybe you hear something. Or you just know, like you know this is going to happen and then it happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if it's years in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many different ways.
And they maybe it'll be in their dreams. But I think that what they were, you know, what they were saying was that I think it's going to be just because like right now, the reason we don't see them is because historically our vibration has been so much denser that there was too much of a gap. And I feel like that gap, as that gap gets narrower and narrower, then it becomes easier and easier for them to be. It's like that veil just gets thinner and thinner and thinner. Then, so I we'll just wait and see, right? Like, but I am, to me, that's one of the most exciting things, because I just feel like, what will that do, right? But, you know, what will that do to how everybody thinks about what is, like, what's important to everyone? Like, what do we focus on? You know, just like all the, it brings everything into question, because it is like the greatest question is, you know, that it'll finally resolve the thing, what happens after we die? Well, okay, here's somebody right here, right? You know what I mean? Like, huge questions that people grapple with, and it's like answered right there, you know, right in front of you. So, and whether there's, like you said, whether they're seeing it or hearing it or experience, like the angel said, they'd be experiencing it, having their own individual experience. So yeah, however that comes about, but I am, and I think it'll be easier for people to accept it if it, lots of people are having that experience, right? If it becomes a thing where it's like, if they're not, otherwise they'll just, yeah, I'm not crazy. Exactly. Which is what the rest of us have been dealing with all this time.
Actually, it's funny because I remember when I had my big breakthrough in 2012, I was at first like, okay, with that person I can talk, with that person can talk. And for the rest, I'm just Lotfi. Because I was still in the corporate world, although part-time. And at a certain moment, I remember in my last job I had in Holland, I was like, screw it. I'm just who I am, and I will not hide anymore.
Yes.
And that was a step into my self-confidence. And nobody was making jokes.
Wow.
Nobody. And I was like really in the corporate world. We were in a call center with everything was about mind. We were working with the pharmaceuticals, like the big criminals of the world, let's say.
Yeah, yeah.
And nobody was making jokes except for one guy, but he was making jokes about everything. So I ignored him. But the rest people were just like, sometimes like, interesting. And sometimes I have no clue what you're talking about. But it was with a mutual respect.
Yeah.
And yet, the feedback I got from people and what they wrote on the goodbye card and stuff, I was like, huh? So I realized that after a year and a half, more people had the guts, at least towards me, to express themselves from here.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, there's really a change happening. And I know I did participate in that because I was so open. I didn't care anymore about what people would think and would believe.
Right. Right.
And that encouraged them, like, okay, he really has the balls to do it. So, okay, I can try to, or at least in a one-on-one or so. Or like, the cards were personal. So it was still in a one-on-one, but at least it started to flow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's amazing. I think and it's really cool that you got to see that, like, that, you know, wrote that in the card afterwards for you to see what you said impact them. Like, maybe it was through showing that your own bravery, but also maybe it was the words that you said, or, you know what I mean? Like, made them feel like, who knows, you started people on a path, you know what I mean?
I have no idea what it was, but
yeah,
I came across
really
this card
cool.
A few weeks back, and I read it again, and was like, whoa, that's why it came up now, because I remember sitting in my bedroom on the bed with a thing, and like, she wrote that? Wow. But that made total sense, because I resonated with this woman immediately from the moment she entered, and I really supported her as a teammate, and she was leading another team, but I was really helping her, like, okay, you can do it.
Yeah.
And now, while reading this, I realized, okay, that's why we resonated, because I sensed what was on the inside already, even if you were not showing it.
Mm-hmm.
That also has been scaring off people, of course.
Right,
like your third eye opens and you can look straight into them. And so a lot started running away from me as well, like, he can see me naked, no!
Okay, so you are a coaching soul, right? When you took the soul type test, were you a coaching soul?
No, expressive.
Expressive soul. Oh, okay. So you're feeling into their heart space then, feeling into what is their emotional truth. That is very cool.
I didn't
cool.
listen yet to the whole thing with the seven, but I either heard a small part or you wrote it somewhere about we embody them all. And I was like, it makes sense. But this expressive one, I was like, very expressive.
Very fitting.
Every 2 days a video and then another one on top and I'm going live and I'm doing all this. It needs to come out. Finally, I've been so silent about all these things that were in me for years. So now I'm like, I'm expressive. I love the test. I mean, it was like, interesting. And actually, I did it twice, also a few weeks back. And I don't remember what came out then, but I've had the feeling like if I do it every 2 weeks, I will get a different answer because I can feel the transformation still happening. And so it's one who's dominating during a certain period, I feel.
Yeah.
Where we are in our lives.
It's interesting, like the test itself is an instrument, but it usually gives you a correct result. So I think you got the right result as an expressive, but in terms of what you express, it's always because the what it's measuring or what I'm trying to get at with the test is the thought process, and your thought process is consistent your whole life. So there's lots of behaviors that come from the thought process, and you may learn behaviors of other soul types. So you might look at other soul type descriptions and say, oh yeah, I sometimes do some of those things, and I sometimes do some of those things, but those are just behaviors that I learned. At the core, it's the structure of how you make choices. And the weird thing is we all think everybody has the same process of thinking, but they don't. Everybody has their own unique and really different, like really different. And so your way is your way, and it's been the same. It's been that way since you were a kid, and it'll be that way your whole life, which is part of what's interesting. But then we grow in flexibility as we learn to move into and use the other energy. So you can use other energies even when you're in your own soul type. You just sort of, okay, what would my expressive friend do here? I'm going to behave in that way.
Yes, true. I realize this is not part of the intimate show, this talk. I will just do a separate one with you for the intimate show. I will just do one about awareness, awakening, and all the things we're discussing now, because this is so interesting. And we'll publish it, and yeah, I don't know how we'll name it yet, but I'll run it by you. I will share with you, because this is really very interesting, and we didn't get close to the intimate part, although this is needed for the true intimacy to actually exist. So maybe I'll make it a two-part video. I don't know. I will just see. Okay. I don't know how much time you have left now.
Yeah, we've got another half hour. So we still have good time.
So we continue on this path, and we'll just schedule another one specifically for the male and the female on the work floor, because I loved that video and how you talked about that. And for me, that's very linked to the intimacy part.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I would like to do that one separately.
Yeah.
On another time, and we just schedule that. But I would love to continue on this path, because this is so important. Because one of the things that's happening when you say the vibration is raising, that's also the reason why we're getting so tired, because our body needs to adapt. Mm-hmm. We are mutating. Our genetics are mutating. Scientists know this, but the media is not talking about it because.
Right.
Yeah, whatever reason they want to hide, like they're hiding so much stuff. But we're transforming, and every time there's a big transformation, the body needs energy. That's also why we suddenly crave certain foods, even if they seem unhealthy for us. But these foods are the closest that we have that contain a certain thing our body needs in that moment. And all the rest will just be flushed out afterwards. So you may have to run to the toilet a few hours later because because stuff is running, but that's okay, because that's just your body cleaning, but it took that one thing your body needed to adjust again, to build something, to grow. So even those who are vegetarian or even vegan, when you crave meat or something like that, or fish at a certain moment, don't be so religious and listen to your body. You will not gain weight for a day maybe, and then the next day it goes down again. I've been seeing that because I'm checking now my weight for a while, and I see it going like this, and sometimes I eat really a lot because I have these cravings, and then I've lost a kilo. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. I've been eating so much carbohydrates, and no, it's just the body is doing its thing. And like with the tiredness now, you're tired. You may need to sleep, but you also just may need to just rest, just sit or lay or be in the park. And then when you have that energy, you just do. And then before you know it, you're so efficient and so productive. And then after that, again, you're like, fine. But you've done what you had to do. And all the rest, what you think you had to, probably not so important. Because nobody called you to say, hey, where's that report? No, it wasn't needed anymore.
Right.
So it's about trusting the process and being in the moment and really being in the body.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting what you were saying about that. You feel like they're upgrading all of us, that they're going through DNA changes, and they actually said to me the other day, they'll ask me, and this time they asked my permission. They said, "Do you want to have this upgrade?" And they talked about what was going to happen, and they said they would be coming in when I was sleeping, when they had my full focus, when I was sleeping, mm-hmm. and they were going to be doing these changes, and they said it would take a fortnight. So that's 2 weeks. They said it would take 2 weeks. And I said, yes. And then for the next three nights, I would wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I wasn't sleeping. I mean, it was like, it was a rough go for a couple of nights. And finally last night I got some decent rest, but I was like, okay, I said, yes, you know, I signed up for it. So yeah, they're doing something, right? I know. And what's hard is when I was writing down what it was going to be, I'm writing it down with my eyes closed. And sometimes, because I'm trying to keep track of my finger where I'm writing, but sometimes I write on top of the previous sentence. And so right in the meat of it, of like saying what I was going to get from doing this, I wrote over my own sentence. So I'm not totally clear on what I signed up for. But
and do you need to know?
That's the thing is, you know what I mean? I mean, like, actually, I do like to know, because I've had many of these types of questions come up and where they've asked me, and I like to know. I do like to know, because I feel like there's times where they've asked me to take on different commitments and things like that. And I feel like it helps for me to know at a conscious level what's happening. But in this one, it was like there, I got enough of an understanding that I was like, yeah, I'm totally in. Let's do this.
Okay.
But at other times, like where they actually asked me at one point if I wanted to extend my lifespan, and I agreed. And then there was another time they asked. So there's different things that they'll ask you. At one time I switched out guides. There's different things that will happen.
I believe the knowing happens when you need to know it. Then you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not when the mind wants it.
Yeah. Or if you're revising a soul contract, right? That's something that you need to have agreement on. Yeah.
Could you explain that for the viewers, what that means? Revising a soul contract?
Yeah. So before, when you are lucky enough to be able to come to Earth, you plan your life out in pretty good detail. So all of the people that you're going to meet, not everybody that you meet, but the people who are going to be important on your journey. And that may show up. So you may, when you may have certain karmic things in your life, that in your energy that you want to resolve in this lifetime. And karma is just the areas when you're in judgment of yourself. So say, for example, in a previous life, you did something that you felt bad about, you know, in a previous life, that maybe you cheated somebody out of something, or you did something, you harmed someone. And so when you crossed over, you felt bad about that. And you think, gosh, I really wish I hadn't done that. And you want a chance to make it right. So when you come back again, you're going to make plans with that soul and say, okay, you're going to be on the planet the same time that I'm going to be on the planet. Can we meet, and can I please have an opportunity to make that better so I forgive myself? So we have all these, and as a healer, you may have a soul contract to heal different people. Like, you may have an agreement in advance to say, hey, I'm going to show up in your life right when you need it to help you get rid of this particular problem that you're facing. Right? So we have all different types of soul contracts. And you've got soul contracts with your spouse or with your partners, with all the major people in your life. And then also people that you might meet someone for an afternoon and resolve a soul contract, right? It might be somebody. And what's interesting, I actually had a dream once showing me practicing those events, where in the dream I was in my between lives, and I was planning this lifetime, and I was there with my guide, and we're watching, and it's like looking at a film strip, and we're watching the film strip go by, and we're rehearsing one specific moment, and we keep playing it over and over and over again to see what we have to do to make it go exactly right. And so what we'd play it one way, and then I would jump into the film strip and I would live it, and we would see the outcome, and then I would jump back out and we try it another way, and then I'd jump into the film strip and live it and jump back out again. And it was rehearsing one specific, very important moment to make sure that it went the way it needed for me to fulfill my soul contract. Isn't that amazing?
Yes. And I'm visualizing it. And what comes to me is DC Legends of Tomorrow, the series. I don't know if you know it, but they go back in time and they correct the timeline. And sometimes they need to repeat because things just get screwed up again. So they're like, okay, what did we miss? And we need to do it again.
Go back and do it again. Right. 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 Exactly. Exactly. Oh, but I didn't really answer what you said about the soul contract. So we have these soul contracts coming in, but you can renegotiate those soul contracts. So when a contract mm-hmm. is resolved, or so say, for example, that you're in a contract with somebody else, say that you're married to someone that you have a soul contract with, but they are not living up to their end of the bargain, that they are not fulfilling what they're supposed to do, then at that point you can be released from the contract. So, and that can often happen if a marriage, like say, for example, if you really grow, like maybe you're growing and they're not, you can be released. Or if you've come as far as you can together, you can be released from the contract.
Actually, I heard about a year and a half ago, and I don't remember who was the teacher who was going around the globe teaching this, that it was time to end all the contracts, to be contract free.
Hmm.
And these were like the heavy ones with the old heavy karma.
Karmic.
The things that would keep you entangled with somebody else, also in this life, mm-hmm. let's say an ex or things like that, or an old colleague, and like, okay, cut. And I really worked on that, and somehow I felt more free.
Yeah.
Because in the end, the stuff that I really have to do from, let's say, from a good heart, I would do them anyway. But I don't need a contract that will force me in doing something on a certain time when it's not right for me anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because times are changing. And maybe before these heavy contracts could exist because everything was so dense, but maybe it's linked to also the change of frequency. And for those who don't know this, literally our whole Milky Way moved into a different area in space with a higher frequency. Science has proven that. And we, let's say, we crossed the border in 2012. So the end of the world, end of the Mayan calendar, just like we start every 12 months. The Mayans were just more advanced. They had like 10,000 or I don't know how many thousands of years calendar.
Right.
But these things change. So now I believe even if we still have contracts, they're like lightweight contracts, like a simple piece of paper, like, hey, I'm going to help you with that thing at that moment. And that's it.
Yeah.
Not like,
yeah.
okay, and you're going to be stuck to me for this whole life because back then you screwed up so badly, so you need to suffer a whole... No, that's bullshit. There is no need for suffering. And I also believe suffering is a choice.
Yeah, I agree.
Where struggling is growing, evolving, getting stronger, and then moving on.
Yeah, I think that's a very good distinction between struggling and suffering. I think that's a great distinction because the struggling is productive and suffering, not necessarily.
it's being in the drama. And some people are wonderful drama queens, and I used to be one. I know that. I mean, I have been many times, but I can see when it pops up, I'm like, no, not anymore. Useless. It's a waste of energy. And then I can shift back. So also want to say to those who experience this, don't judge yourself. Like, oh, but I'm really dramatic. No, just be aware.
Yeah.
And step out of it. Start working on the stepping out. And you may fall back. It's like with every new thing you're learning, you need practice. And you may fall, but then you get up again. And that's the difference between a loser and a winner. The winner gets up one more time than the loser, because the loser stays down at a certain moment when he surrenders. So just take a breath and get up again.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I like that.
Wow. I have the feeling there's so much more we can talk about. And one thing I want to add, what I want to ask you, do you know the Gene Keys?
Gene Keys?
Yeah. Does it ring a bell?
No.
The profile that's in a circle with little balls and keys in that. Okay. Now, I had to think of that when you talked about the seven...
soul types?
Yes, and that we have them all in us, but then one is more dominant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With the Gene Keys, it's the same thing, and I will send you a link because it helped me personally a lot and also the people I'm working with.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are these 64 gene keys that we all have in us, but our profile has 11 or 13, I don't know, by heart.
Okay.
And those are the most prominent ones.
Okay.
And maybe you've heard of human design?
Yes.
Because a lot of people know that. Okay. The gene keys is what comes after that. The one who brought the gene keys, who had, I believe, 2 to 7 days of downloads. So we would call it psychosis in the medical world. He used to be a teacher of human design. And so they're very, very connected, like they're also very connected with astrology and the I Ching. And the Gene Keys has, like every key has three things, which is the shadow, the gift, which you can actively work on, and then the city, which you will reach while being in the gift.
Okay.
And these really show, gives you the possibility to grow. And that's what we're doing now, we're expanding. So that's why I love so much the Gene Keys, and I felt I had to mention this, because with human design, what I felt was like, okay, this is how you are. Get used to it. Find a way to live with it. I'm like, restrictive. And the Gene Keys is like, okay, you have this shadow, which you probably already know, and this is your gift. Do you recognize it? Oh, yeah, definitely. And this is where you want to go, right? Yes. Yeah, so here, it's like a funnel, but the other way, like,
The
sky is the limit, and not even that. You can go further. And this is something I will share with you. And I'm actually basing part of my work is the every 5 to 6 days I record a video of the energy at play, which is based on the Gene Keys.
Okay.
For the next 5 to 6 days.
Oh, cool.
It's like a whole calendar.
Yeah.
And I'm experiencing it 1 week earlier than the masses. But there are more people who experience it earlier. There are also people who experience it later. But if you take the big mass, they're in the middle. And so I'm experiencing the Gene Key. And then on one of the last days, I record the video where I share the human experience connected with the theory. Because
Gene Keys
is like a science. Yeah. So it's theoretical. And it's all about contemplation.
Okay.
And that's why I need to do the contemplations. So I make it more tangible for a lot of people who are not into diving into something very theoretical or who have trouble doing the contemplation.
Yeah.
That's something we need to learn. And many of us are not trained on that. We're trained on learn by heart, duplicate. Yeah, you have an A. You're good now.
Right.
Personally, but in this job, you need to think out of the box. Yeah, but I only learned to duplicate like a computer. The contemplation is important, and when people then look at different contemplations, they start to see the different perspectives, and then they can learn to contemplate themselves.
And I think that's just a great, I think that's really useful, because it's especially as people are kind of living their daily lives, a lot of people don't make time for it. I mean, that's been one of the beauties of this, what's been a very difficult time with COVID and everything else, is that people have been much more in their own energy and have been more reflective, but in general, it's not natural for a lot of people to spend time doing that. So like if, you know, you helping them to process and to make, just making people aware, it's like, hey, this is, be aware of where this occurred in your life today, or be aware, you know, when you felt this, just sort of like we were talking about before, about ear ringing, is like, once you mention, it's like, oh my gosh, you're right, my ear was ringing. You know, you become aware of what's going on.
Yeah, I heard somebody also saying this, that COVID and this whole crazy situation, whether you're a believer or not, doesn't matter, is there because it's forcing us to go inward, because there's nowhere you can go. All the distractions are being destroyed or involved. So what can you do? Look yourself in the mirror. Discover who you truly are, which is bloody scary for all of us at first. But then once you dig in deeper, you're like, hey, I'm good at that. Oh, wow, I can do. Oh, and then you start to discover all these things. And actually, it's something I really encourage people, like, hey, so much beauty in you. Yeah, there's the pain. Yes, we know that we all have it. But look for the gem in you. Let that out.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's also helping to clear heavy emotions like anger. Like anger is a big one, because it's kind of a lid, right? Anger is it's a very strong feeling, and it puts a lid on these other of shame and fear, and all these other things are sort of below anger. And so once you peel off anger, then it's really allows people to do a lot of clearing. But
and
I think
it's an energy sucker as well.
Yeah, for sure. So I think it's helping to release that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, I believe you have to go, right? So I would like to thank you very much for this wonderful spontaneous talk.
Thank you.
Definitely scheduled, but it went like totally another direction, which I love. We will see you back soon. We will schedule the talk about, yeah, the male and the female energy.
Masculine and feminine. Sounds great.
On the work floor. And yeah, where can people find you? In short, I will add the links, but just...
Thank you. Yeah, the best place is my website, which is annetucker.com. It's annetucker.com. And my Facebook group is Spirit Means Business.
Okay, I'll add these links in the description, and you'll just send me if there are other links as well. And
perfect.
I want to thank everyone for watching, and I hope you got inspired and have the courage to also start taking steps and diving deep in your beauty and your genius. Like, subscribe, and share.